Thank you, Marcia. And thank you to so many for joining us. So we're going to talk about the School Health Index, CDC tool, and addressing school wellness and trying to support school wellness councils, the unfunded mandate, kind of a challenge. And we're doing this in high schools, so that's another challenge. I want to acknowledge my co-authors on this work, my colleagues at HealthCorps who are doing this work on the ground, and also at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, our research partners who are doing this all unfunded. And no financial relationships disclosed. So our conundrum here in our work with HealthCorps was to try and figure out how to use the School Health Index effectively in high schools. This is a tool that I'm sure most people know what the School Health Index is. Yes? Okay. Because I wasn't planning to really explain it too much because I figured most people know what it is. But essentially, it's a assessment that's conducted by schools to determine in eight different areas, there's eight different modules of the school community, how in place school wellness is, the policies, different plans, and projects. So, but the problem in high schools is that we know that parents really are not engaged at that age level, that the students, you want to have all stakeholders, the students aren't really all that engaged either, unless maybe they have a mentor, somebody who's really helping them to see the connections. Also, there's very little in the literature that really tells us how to use this tool at the high school level. So we didn't have much guidance. So who's doing this work? How many in the room have heard of HealthCorps? Okay, so this is a wellness movement in high schools founded by Dr. Oz, and the idea is it's modeled after the Peace Corps, and the idea is that a coordinator is hired who's a young person just out of a recent college graduate. Usually they're on a trajectory to either go into health education or into medicine, and they are young and they're seen as they're hired to work in about 50 HealthCorps schools now around the country to be the mentor to students because they're close enough in age and they're there to be a catalyst to really get the subject of health on three levels of nutrition and exercise and definitely also this idea of mental resilience, this idea of students being able to emotionally cope with the issues that are facing them on a daily basis. So our other partners then is Family Cook Productions, who I represent, and our role here is twofold. We are helping guide them because we've been doing so many on the ground programs for so many years. We're helping guide them in general in terms of evaluation to figure out ways to evaluate their program, and also in this project to understand how to use the School Health Index effectively and to engage leaders in schools. So that whole, we've been hearing the whole idea of using peer leaders and youth engagement in this. So our program that we provide to all the HealthCorps schools is called Teen Battle Chef. And that program, you'll hear a little bit about it, but that program, the leaders that emerge from that have been highly engaged in the wellness work at the schools. Our other partner, as I mentioned, is our colleagues at Albert Einstein College of Medicine, and they are our evaluation and all of this School Health Index implementation guidance. They're providing the guidance on all our methodologies. So you can think of the School Health Index as a way of taking the temperature of school wellness in the school. I think that's a really good way of looking at it. And as I said, it was developed by the CDC. HealthCorps coordinators, in theory, in 2009-2010 school year, 50 of them, were trained to do this by the CDC in the summer of 2009. And in all 50 schools, they were to conduct this index. Additionally, we wanted to make sure that we were able to find out how effective this is going to be at the high school level. So our project now had this timeline. I can do this timeline now. In the past, this timeline was not developed initially because we didn't really know what this project was going to look like in terms of the school's health index actually being conducted by these coordinators. So two things went on over that school year. On the one hand, we were you know, letting the coordinators determine the timeline for when they were going to do the school, conduct the school health index, and use the training they received and do it. On a second level, in the very early on, we were hearing some feedback from the coordinators about maybe language being a little daunting, them feeling, many of them, new in their school. I should mention that the coordinators in the health core schools are there for 2 years. So 30 of these coordinators were in their second year, so they were a little more confident in their school. The other 20 were brand new, so they were, I would say there's a little more pushback from them because they were feeling that they were just getting to know all the stakeholders in their school, and it was hard for them to engage them on something like this when people perceive them at their schools as more this person that was bringing all this programming and fun activities for the kids, didn't really see them as somebody conducting an assessment. So in the fall, as we got some feedback from coordinators about this, in the winter we decided to go ahead and plan for a pilot with two schools, where for those two schools we would work closely with them and with the principal to understand more closely what these barriers were for these coordinators trying to conduct this index. So, as I said, 50 schools were to conduct it. 11 out of the 50 schools actually did, and then two were involved in this, side-by-side work with us, so we could really understand more of what goes on for these coordinators at the high school level and try and improve the use of this tool, how many use this tool, and then the impact and the efficacy of this tool. So here you see those eight modules, these eight different areas that stakeholders, in theory, would be coming together with this health core coordinator person, you know, pushing the agenda looking at what these eight are the different areas where they're intended to assess. So you're bringing all these stakeholders together, and their intention is to assess how fully in place is wellness in our school in terms of policies and environment, health education, all these different areas. Well, I can tell you from a health core coordinator's standpoint, there were a lot of biases because they felt like they were there in the school to deal with obesity. They didn't really feel like they were equipped to be there in the school to deal with the school counseling, family involvement. Some of these other things seemed very daunting to them. So you'll see, and then there was all this other area of pushback is related to the fact that so many mandates now are happening. You know, New York City is where we had these two schools we work with very closely. We have crazy number of schools, right? Over 1,000. Now, can you imagine a school district with 1,400 schools? So these policies are happening at the district level. District is designing policies for 1,400 schools. Schools are trying to implement these in triage. Both of these schools that we went to, when you walk in the school in the morning, there is metal detectors. So when you put that context into what the schools are dealing with, you can imagine that trying to get stakeholders in all aspects of the school to focus on some of these things and have their coordinator leading this, who's viewed as somebody who really just deals with obesity and not some of these other aspects, also created a challenge. And that's revealed in here when you see the scoring. So the higher scores are what people felt were fully in place. And clearly the first four modules have more to do with the health and the reasons why the health coordinator is there, and the nutrition, the physical activity, and those have higher scores. The last two things are the things have the the lowest scores are things like family engagement, we said is a challenge, right? And also the ability of the of any staff, anything there for staff, any staff support for wellness. And so here also you can see the biases. These are mostly, not everyone, but most of them are New York City schools. So that's another bias here, because if we said we had 50 health core schools, and we have only 11 completed the health index, and like 9 or 10 out of the 11 all in New York City, we also feel that because Health Corps' headquarters is in New York City and 17 of the schools were there, that the ones who filled this out were in New York City, because I think they feel like they were more under the thumb of leadership of Health Corps. But anyway, you see that those models 5, 6, and 7, and 8, and so many of them, in 5 of them, were not even conducted. So we get the feedback that we were getting overall for coordinators trying to do the school health index is that it was time consuming. It was difficult for them to identify which stakeholders would have the right expertise to be able to assess these different areas. The biases and perspectives of people being very different in the same school being very different. The characteristics of the schools being so different. Of the two, I can give you an example. Of the two that we actually worked in the pilot with very closely, they were so different. One was 15-year-old school with a very tenured faculty of teachers who were very resistant to change. The principal told us that, you know, he would try and do new things, but they really were giving him pushback all the time. So try and imagine, you know, making major change in that climate. And then there was the other school, Brooklyn Lab School. That school was 2 years old only. They only had a sophomore class last year. They started freshmen. They only had sophomores. And all of his staff were handpicked. He does a very project-based school. He's a very hands-on principal. They will do whatever he wants. So if you look at those two very different types of characteristics of schools, you can imagine that trying to do this with, you know, every other permutation of type of characteristics of schools, trying to do something the same way is difficult. So here's our streamlined version of what this looked like from working with these two pilot schools. Now there's a survey that the coordinator can send out to all the people that they identify in the school that they think should conduct this index. And that survey asks them to rate themselves on how well do you think you could answer any of these questions. That will help you, finally, to identify who are the right people. Let them self-select. Then we have a meeting, 1 hour, usually at the crack of dawn, because you can get everybody in the school there together, although it's hard to get the students. And that hour, you're going to be able to determine, have everybody work in small groups to do this, to go through these 8 modules. So they will not go through all 8 modules, right? They're grouped according to your expertise. Then you have a follow-up meeting, and sometimes that follow-up meeting will involve the principal. If not, you will meet with the principal, and when I say you, I mean the coordinator. And the whole idea is that now you get the principal engaged, and you take whatever biases might come out of their reviewing of what the scores were and trying to prioritize. You have to make sure if that's consistent with what the principal knows of what really can happen in that school, and that I can't underscore enough. So... So I think I pretty much gave you that feedback. So now, what are the remedies we can use? So at HealthCore, they have a project that also comes out of the CDC. It's called FitTown. And the idea is that with FitTown is that they're taking the CDC's community strategies and they're using those recommendations from the community strategies to come up with a project, like a first step, but a first step that's highly engaging and really doing something and really visible in the schools that involve as many of the stakeholders in the schools, so involving youth leaders, involving the outside community, parents, et cetera, and they're getting the priorities from the results of the School Health Index. So these are some of the tools that they use. So some of the things that some of the good things that did come out of this process, not necessarily in the linear way that we are looking for it to happen, but there was a partnership with this organization called EATS, and they have put in raised beds in about 5 of the New York City schools that I'm aware of. And you have to understand, in New York City, some of these high schools, they are so mammoth, and they have huge lawns around them. I'm not even sure who takes care of these lawns. But children are not allowed on these lawns. And they're not allowed to congregate on these lawns. So now we've taken the lawns and put in 20 raised beds in some cases. So that's very exciting. another example is using these school food ambassadors, which I'm probably not going to have time to explain too much, but to have them be leaders. So these are these teenagers in Teen Battle Chef who've learned cooking and they're very empowered and very well spoken about food, having them be leaders in school food, adding school food breakfast. And also, well, there's a school that's built a kitchen. I'm going to rush through some of this. This is a little qualitative data about kids who have gone through the leadership program, because I wanted to emphasize that in building teen leaders, teenagers at the school who are leaders and can speak very from personal experience of making changes in their diet and their physical activity, how much they're able to really invigorate the rest of the school community. So you see at the key at the top there, some of these kids really improve their attitude, some attitude and behavior, but there's also this radiating effect on family and friends that we're finding, and we're going to be studying that a little more. That's an example of one of the raised beds in a school where they have about 20 now. These pictures didn't come out, so. Another tool that we're developing is using systems dynamics. And I don't have a great example of that right now. We're working on that, but that's part of our future plans. But this is what systems dynamics in general would do. It explains these relationships between all these systems that are operating at the same time in a school, and we're hoping that we'll be able to illustrate it very visually to for the coordinators to have that as a tool to illustrate visually to the wellness committee, so they'll be more able to assess or create their priorities. So this next year, we're going to have 43 schools are going to use the streamline process. We're going to continue working with these two pilot schools, and we're going to try to use some of the other measures that schools keep around attendance, graduation rate, school meal participation, all of that, and see how that relates to progress in the wellness councils, as well as use some of the systems dynamic simulation models to as an additional tool for the coordinators. Thank you.